Okay, hi and welcome. He is a homeopath and allergy elimination practitioner. So thank you very much for your chat to us today.
My pleasure.
First of all, I just wanted to find out a bit about your background and how you got into the alternative therapy arena.
Okay, well, I was working for a commercial finance company for about 15 years. We got taken over by an American bank. And in quite a short space of time, I had quite a lot of personal crises. My dad died. Then we got taken over, a relationship broke up, and then my mum died. So all that happened in about 4 year space of time. And I'd been promoted and was working ridiculously long hours and was very stressed and was getting terrible tummy aches and stomach pains, rest, not sleeping very well. And a friend of mine said, why don't you go see a homeopath? And I didn't really know anything about homeopathy. I've taken a few arnicas in my time, but that was about it. So I went to see somebody and she gave me a remedy and it was just life-changing for me. It just made a huge difference to all aspects of my life. I just felt less stressed, I was starting to sleep better. The stomach pains went straight away. And I was already thinking about a career change. I was a bit fed up with what I was doing. So around that time I thought, oh, maybe I'll try to become a homeopath. So my company were great, actually. They did let me work part-time whilst I trained, because it's 4 years training part-time, so it was quite full-on working and training. And then when I qualified, which was 2006, I left and set up my own practice. With the NAEP allergy elimination therapy, I trained in that in 2008. And that was really just because I was treating a lot of digestive problems, a lot of allergy stuff, and realising that so many underlying health problems were caused by allergies. And then I heard about NAEP and thought it sounded really interesting, so I went along to the training course. So that's where I am now.
Okay, fantastic. We seem to find that so many alternative health practitioners have their own health challenges and they have a treatment and find it so life-transforming that they become a practitioner in that. That seems to be really common.
Yes, I think it is, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I wanted to find out a bit about your experience in dealing with people with ME, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, those sort of symptoms and illnesses.
Yeah, I've treated quite a number of people, and they come for different reasons, so it might not be with an expectation of getting the ME or the chronic fatigue sorted, but it might be for headaches or something that's another symptom alongside that. And what I really love about what I do, I suppose, is because it's totally holistic. So it doesn't really matter to me what label someone has, you know, if they've got a disease or if they've just got a bunch of symptoms and they don't really know what's going on underneath that, because I'm just treating them as an individual. So it doesn't actually matter, you know, what they've been diagnosed with. So I've treated quite a lot of people with fatigue issues, fibromyalgia, and what I'm looking at when someone comes, I'll do a full case history, particularly trying to find out if there was an underlying cause. So often that can be something that was emotional, or it could be a build-up of things, but often as well it might be a physical cause. It might be after someone's had a particular illness. A big one, I think, for ME is people with glandular fever often get ME afterwards. And so looking at, you know, the whole picture of what's gone on, what the family history of illness has been, if there's tendencies towards, you know, family tendency towards, say, allergies, you get whole families with asthma and eczema and hay fever. You get family histories of cancer. So just looking at the whole picture of the person and looking at their symptoms and everything that's going on for them, finding out what makes them feel better, what makes them feel worse. But what I find as well is that testing for food intolerances can be quite a critical part of that. People often aren't very sensitive or very aware of what foods cause them a problem. And actually, by just testing someone and saying, actually, if you cut out wheat and coffee, that could make a huge difference to your health, which for a lot of people, cutting wheat out is quite a big thing. But for most people, it's worth doing if it makes them feel a lot better. So adding that into the mix is really helpful, I find. So I bring the food testing into the whole consultation.
Excellent. And do you find a common thread among chronic fatigue ME and fibromyalgia in terms of triggers or things that seem to come up often with those types of patients?
I think there's a sort of person quite often tend to be sort of quite high achieving, go getting people.
Yeah.
So the typical burnout thing,
yeah.
I think that's really common. And often I'm looking at what sort of made them like that. So, you know, has it come from sort of family pressure? Is it pressure they put on themselves? And also looking at their early life, their early health history, because often that wasn't great. So it may be that in childhood they had compromised health, so lots of recurrent infections, ear infections, throat infections, things like that. So lots of antibiotics, which has then depleted them health-wise and probably made them more susceptible to the fatigue. But yes, often they are sort of overachieving type people. And so looking at issues around that and around, you know, taking time for themselves, getting balance in their life and addressing those sort of issues as well.
And what would you say your beliefs are around this illness? Because a lot of people, I mean, there was the XRMV virus and people were saying, oh, you know, it's started with a virus and that's the only thing that causes ME. And I know a lot of people have this, they're looking for a cure, you know. There isn't a pill that's going to make ME better.
No.
And I just wondered what your thoughts are around around that, really.
I would say that every case I've seen has certainly been adrenal fatigue. And that's probably critical in addressing that. That's probably a critical part of treatment, is addressing adrenal fatigue. But in terms of everything else, I'm not convinced that, you know, there is a virus that maybe has caused it. In some cases, there probably is. But a lot of people have ME-type symptoms or chronic fatigue-type symptoms, and they maybe get categorised in that, you know, labelled as that. And I think there can be a huge number of different causes and things behind it. So I don't get too hung up on the causation. If someone had had, we were speaking earlier about Lyme disease, so someone say had had Lyme disease, then certainly you would attribute that virus to being quite a big component in someone becoming chronic fatigued. Glandular fever, the same thing. But there can be, I think, numerous things. And often emotional shock, or often it's people who care for someone, you know, maybe been in a caring position for years and years, you know, looking after a mother or a spouse or someone who's ill. And that can often be enough, you know, that really depletes them. And they haven't taken time for themselves. And that actually is a really common thing, people who don't take time for themselves.
And also, like you said earlier, treating people like they're as an individual. And I think what we promote on our programme and the way we deal with it is we look at things individually, because there are so many symptoms, and if you deal with your emotions and you deal with your adrenals and you deal with your nutrition, it can then stop ME and chronic fatigue feeling like a mountain to climb to get over.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what I love about alternative practitioners, is that they deal with things, you know, in that way.
So looking at the whole picture. I mean, sometimes people come to me and they say, I can't envisage a day where I can ever eat normally, you know, what they consider to be normally. So it's taking that stages at a time, really, and just, you know, looking at one thing at a time. And to me, often addressing the emotional side, if that's a big component, which it very often is quite critical in then the physical health improving. And also positive outlook. So thinking, yes, I am going to get better, and having some visualisation, some image of the healthy you, you know, what you're going to look like as a 100% healthy, well person.
Fantastic. So can you tell me a bit more about the philosophy behind homeopathy and how it all came about?
Okay, so homeopathy has been around for around 200 years in its modern day form. And in fact, a lot of the remedies that were first being used 200 years ago, I still use commonly now. So there are always new remedies being developed and trialled. It started in Germany. There was a German physician called Samuel Hahnemann, and he got a bit fed up with the modern day medical practices at that time, bloodletting and using mercury and arsenic and nice things like that to treat people. And so he didn't actually work as a physician, he worked as a translator. He was fluent in a number of languages. And he was translating a document into German, written by a Scottish physician, and the the article or the thesis was about quinine, which we know is used commonly to treat malaria. And he didn't agree with the proposals put forward by this Scottish chap. So he got hold of some quinine, and Samuel Hahnemann, and he took it. And interestingly, he developed all the symptoms of malaria. So he didn't have malaria, but he had the symptoms, so the cramping and the vomiting and the diarrhea and the fever and the sweats and everything that you would expect to see in someone with malaria.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stopped taking the quinine, the symptoms went away. And that was really his introduction or his first thoughts about homeopathy, which means similar suffering. So he proposed that if you take something that makes you ill, that something will also cure those symptoms if you have those symptoms when you're unwell. So a good example that I often use for people is if you think about an onion and what happens when you slice an onion. Most people either get itchy nose and itchy eyes or streaming nose and eyes. And I use onion homeopathically to treat hay fever. So if somebody's got the itchy eyes, streaming nose, onion's a very good treatment for hay fever. And coffee is another substance that's used. Obviously, a lot of us know, you know, when you drink coffee, a lot of people become a bit hyper. But I use coffee in insomnia cases sometimes, particularly if it's the sort of insomnia, if you imagine a child on Christmas Eve, that sort of high excitement, can't
mm-hmm.
sleep because the house is coming. And actually, coffea, which is the homeopathic version of coffee, is an excellent treatment for insomnia in those cases.
Mm-hmm. So is anything like, you know, when you get a jab,
mm-hmm.
like when you get a jab, it's like they're giving you the flu or
yeah.
whatever to stop you then getting it to
yes.
get your
to
immune
get the
system
antibody.
To work.
Sort of. I think it is at some level. The body is somehow stimulated by whatever it's being given. And I think our bodies have an instinctive reaction to become well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tendency to go, you know, grab a medicine as soon as anything happens. But actually, if you get an acute illness, 9 times out of 10, if you just drink plenty and feed yourself nice food, you'll get better
mm-hmm.
all on your own. And that's your body doing its healing thing.
Yeah.
But remedies will accelerate that process. Or if it's not healing, if it's got stuck,
mm-hmm.
then they will help to put that on the right track.
Fantastic. So in terms of chronic fatigue, Emmy, what would be the benefits to somebody of seeing a homeopath?
I think for a lot of people it's being listened to by someone who's totally neutral
yep.
and objective. I think for a lot of people actually having an hour and a half of time just to talk
yep.
about themselves
Absolutely.
Is very rare.
Yeah.
And also, you know, sometimes you can talk to your friends or your family and they'll say, oh, well, you want to be doing this and you should be doing that. And actually, when you see a homeopath, they're not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, they're just going to listen to you.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of people that's quite refreshing
yeah.
in itself for the actual consultation process. Then the next stage is obviously finding the remedy that's the best fit for the person. The way I work, I'd probably do some allergy testing if I thought foods were an issue,
mm-hmm.
or if someone was eating foods that obviously weren't helping them. So maybe if they were drinking a lot of coffee, eating a lot of sugar,
mm-hmm.
probably a lot of dairy and wheat, they would be the key foods I would look at and see what their consumption was like. A lot of people I see who are in an ME chronic fatigue state actually do eat really well because they've kind of tried everything
mm-hmm.
to get better,
yeah.
so they actually do have a really good diet. So we just look at that and maybe make suggestions around that.
And when you test for food intolerances, what do you do to test?
I use basic kinesiology, so just muscle
okay.
testing with the arm normally. If someone's very weak, then I'd use a surrogate, so I'd use someone else to test, and they hold the patient,
okay.
and that seems to work perfectly well. I use that for children as well. And then I'm just looking for the remedies or remedy that I think is best going to help the individual. So, for example, if someone finds when they walk upstairs they're very shaky, if they have a lot of heavy headaches and maybe heavy eyes a lot of the time, they're not particularly thirsty, they feel worse when the weather's damp, then there's a remedy called gelsemium that might be really helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, someone I trained with on my homeopathy training, she'd had ME,
mm-hmm.
and that was the remedy, I think, that really pulled her out of it. So she was training to be a homeopath. So there are lots of remedies. but that's just one that springs to mind as good for that sort of particular set of symptoms.
So it can help with food intolerances. What else can it help with? Because we have a lot of people with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression really, I mean, when you can't do anything, you can't get out of bed, it's very easy to be depressed.
Yes.
But you were talking to me earlier about the link with food as well and depression.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've seen, I think if you eat a food that your body doesn't like, that stresses your body, it can actually decrease your mood. I mean, I mentioned earlier about coffee and how coffee can make you quite hyper. And you see children, you know, when they've had too much sugar after a party or behaving quite madly. But equally, I think if you eat foods that your body doesn't like, they can have a depressive effect as well.
Mm.
So I think perfecting your diet for you, making it as good as you can make it for yourself, is really helpful. And the problem is there's so much information about what's good and what's bad foods and the superfoods, and what's a superfood for one person might really not be a good food for somebody else.
Mm.
So it's finding the foods that really suit the individual. So I do spend quite a bit of time on nutrition. But remedies can be very helpful for depression as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've treated lots of people with depression at varying levels, and lots of people who've come off antidepressants with treatments.
It helps with nutrition and depression. Any other benefits?
But general symptoms, so someone's getting a lot of headaches or stomach aches or aches and pains and fibromyalgia, you'd expect to see a lot of that. Decreasing the level of aches and pains, so that's often, it often depends on what someone's big thing is, so what they come in with.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people it will be the pain.
Yep.
So I'll try and find remedies that are going to help to manage their pain for them. Particularly if people have pain at night, and so then they're not sleeping so well, therefore they're getting tired, and it's just then you just get into a vicious cycle, really, aren't you? Endlessly exhausted.
Yeah.
So if pain's the big thing, then I'll try and work with the pain.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And I've only recently come across NAET, which is Natural Allergy Elimination Technique.
It's actually Nambutrapad Allergy
Elimination
Technique,
okay.
Which you would not necessarily have. So yeah, I only came across NAET soon before I did the training, actually. So Nambutrapad, there's Dr. Devi Nambutrapad, and she's an American with Indian heritage, and she was very allergic. She, I think, could only eat broccoli and white rice, and she trained to be a chiropractor, and as part of the chiropractic training she learned kinesiology techniques, and then she trained to be an acupuncturist, and she came up with her theory, her treatment. I think it was one day she was peeling a carrot, so presumably she had addressed quite a lot of her allergies by then, and she started having allergic symptoms, and her husband's also an acupuncturist, and she asked him to do some pressure points on her back, and she realised as the symptoms subsided that she was still holding the carrot. So that's really how it all started. So she realised that if you held something that you're allergic to and stimulated certain points on the body, that would help to almost reprogram the body so that it wasn't allergic to that thing anymore. So when you have the treatment, there's a combination of things that go on with the treatment. The first is using kinesiology, muscle response testing,
mm-hmm.
just to see what the allergens are and to see which organs are most affected by it. And then the spinal treatment, so the treatment on the back, which is just pressure points on the back, and then 10 points on the body. And then you hold the allergen for 20 minutes afterwards. And then you avoid that allergen totally for 25 hours. So, for example, if you had a treatment for nylon, you wouldn't be able to touch anything that contained nylon, and obviously you wouldn't be able to wear nylon clothes for 25 hours after the treatment.
Okay, so is that long term? Once that's been treated, is that forever? Or
seems that sometimes things can slip back, but mainly it seems to hold. I had a patient that I didn't see for about 6 months for various reasons, and she came back, and I checked her for everything I'd already treated her for, and there was one that needed doing again, but everything else was fine. I treated someone else who'd had treatment in the States, and she was over in the UK for a while, and she'd had a lot of NAET treatment over a series of years, and when I checked her, I think again one had slipped, and she had that retreated, but otherwise she'd done well. But yeah, I've got people, or people I trained with had had nut allergies and are now able to eat nuts. I've treated people with gluten intolerance who couldn't have any gluten, who are now able to eat wheat and cereal and anything they like. It's quite an intensive treatment. It's usually weekly, so generally I see people every week. It doesn't have to be, but that's most common. And it does take quite a few weeks, unless someone's only got quite minor allergies. But for, you know, quite heavy duty allergies, you're probably looking at several months of treatment, really.
Because you treat one or two allergies.
Exactly, treat one or two a week because of the avoidance. So it's difficult, you know, you have to accommodate for people having something to eat in the 25 hours after they've had a treatment. And also it seems to work better if you don't treat too much at a time. They seem to hold.
Okay.
So, yes, it's fairly intensive, but I think for people that are quite seriously poorly and have quite bad food allergies, it's probably worth the investment of a few hundred pounds to get them sorted out, and then they can eat a much wider range of food, which obviously is great.
And are there other things that it can work for other than food intolerances?
Yeah, any allergy, actually, and you can even use it to treat emotions. A great example in Dr. Devi's book is a case of a woman who was eating a peach whilst on the phone to her son, who was away somewhere. And in the background, she heard what she thought was a gunshot, and he got cut off. And it actually transpired that it was a car backfiring, and he turned around quickly and pulled the phone out of the wall. But she had, from that day on, she had an allergy to peaches, because her body went into shock, and her body thought it was the peach, because that's what she was eating.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually you might treat fear and peach as an allergy together. And that would help too. And then she was treated, and now she can eat peaches again. So there can be emotional allergies. And also you can treat, if someone's had maybe a bad reaction to a vaccination or had a bad reaction to a virus, you could actually treat that particular virus.
Mm-hmm.
And you might combine that with organs. So someone I treated recently had chronic fatigue, which started literally the day after she had a flu vaccination. And the treatment that really helped her a lot was flu vaccine plus adrenal glands, because it's her adrenal glands that really got depleted.
Wow.
So we treated those two together, and her life's been transformed really from having the treatment.
And you also mentioned when we were talking earlier about electromagnetics as well.
Absolutely. I think it's such a big thing that wouldn't have even been an issue 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by Wi-Fi, and you know, everybody's got an iPhone or a BlackBerry, and it's just everywhere. Mobile phones are everywhere.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people, particularly if you're already quite depleted, are going to be a lot more sensitive. My own feeling is that if you're in optimum health, it's going to affect you a lot less.
Mm.
But if you're already quite depleted, so typically someone with chronic fatigue type symptoms is likely to be a lot more sensitive than that. And there is an awful lot you can do to protect yourself, but it's a bit of a nightmare because it's so ubiquitous. I mean, the wireless technology.
That's why Nate works so well,
you
can desensitize yourself.
You can desensitize. Obviously, the avoidance is difficult. So, you know, sitting in a darkened room with no electricity for 25 hours is a bit sad. But it is doable. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I mean, sometimes you have a situation where someone cannot avoid whatever they've been treated for.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, they're on medication.
Yeah.
Say they're allergic to their insulin and they're diabetic.
Wow.
But there is a way around that. There are ways around it.
Mm.
Doing that. And sometimes someone inadvertently, you know, touches something that they're not supposed to touch, and there are things you can do.
Mm.
So, it's not the end of the world.
It is fantastic to be able to get over the intolerances, because I personally have many food intolerances, and you're now obviously working with me to clear some of those, because I thought I would have them forever. So, you know, it's fantastic to find something that can get rid of them, because it does still cause issues and restrict your diet so much. And when you want to become healthy, there are certain foods that are really good for you, like eggs, for instance, and that's something that
doesn't work for me right now, but
no.
it's something that is good for you.
Yes.
So it's great to be able to change that.
Mm. Well, hopefully you'll be able to be safer in a few days.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Be a
novel. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate
it.
And we'll put your details on the site so people can contact you.
That's great.
If they're local. If they're not, because obviously we are international in this programme, we'll put some information up there so that they can contact people in whatever country they're in.
Absolutely. The best website is nate.com, so that's NAET.com.
Fantastic.
And that's the US site. But on there you can find certainly US based practitioners, but there's a lot of information on there about sort of thing of treats.
Okay, that's great, and I'm sure we'll be able to talk to you again soon. We're going to be working together, because I know in the clinic you work with Christian Bates, who we've also done an interview with, and I know you're wanting to work with more ME chronic fatigue patients on
we
a
do.
Specialist basis, so we're really excited to be working with you and making a difference. So thank you again for your time.
My pleasure, thanks very much.